Lesson 2. General Principles of Interpretation. Lesson Objectives. 1. Understand basic principles of Bible interpretation. 2. Apply these principles when studying Scripture. 3. Be aware of how failure to follow these principles may lead to doctrinal error. Introduction. The principles in this lesson are foundational to the study of Scripture. These are principles that wise Bible teachers have developed to guide their study. These principles should be the basis of your Bible study methods. Please take the time to understand these principles and then apply them in your study. Consider the author's intention. The author intended to say something to his readers. That intended meaning is the real meaning of the writing. Interpretation is the work of trying to understand the author's intended message. We should never use Scripture as material for a message that is different from the meaning the writer intended. A scriptural statement can mean more than the writer intended. When Abraham said to Isaac that God will provide for himself the lamb, Genesis 22:8, he may not have understood that God would fulfill his words in a greater way in the coming of Jesus. When Moses wrote down those words of Abraham, Moses also may not have understood the full meaning of the statement. However, to apply the statement to the coming of Jesus is not a completely different meaning from Moses' intention. It is a larger, fuller meaning of the principle that God provides what is needed for our salvation. Each biblical writer also intended that the first readers apply his message in a practical way. Our application of the message may be different from the application of the first readers, but it follows the same principle. Because we are applying the biblical principle to a different situation, our action may be different. For example, the people of Israel were told to put a railing around the roof of their house, Deuteronomy 22:8. The roof of a house at that time was flat, and the roof was used as part of the living area. If you do not live in a house with a flat roof where people go, then you do not need a railing around the edge to make it a safe place. However, we should still apply the principle of making our properties safe for people. The interpreter should not develop imaginary interpretations of the details of the passage. Here is an example of an imaginary interpretation of Jesus' story of the Samaritan who helped the injured man, Luke 10:30-35. The Samaritan is an evangelist. The injured man is a sinner who is converted. The hotel is the church, and the two coins are baptism and communion. This interpretation ignores the point that Jesus intended to make about loving our neighbors, Luke 10:27-29, 36-37. We are to show love to those we meet who have needs. There are three problems with imaginary interpretations. 1. They come from the opinions of the interpreter. 2. They are not guided by good interpretive principles. 3. They cannot be evaluated by any usual reasonable methods. Start with the text, not with your conclusion. Caleb looked at a map to find his way to his destination, but then Caleb said, "This map is wrong." Caleb's passenger asked, "How do you know the map is wrong?" Caleb responded confidently, "I know the route to take. The map is wrong." A few hours later, completely lost, Caleb admitted defeat and began to try to understand and follow the map. What was his mistake? He had started with the conclusion. He was sure he had the right answer, so he refused to listen to a map that gave a different answer. Some people read the Bible in this way. Once a preacher read a verse of Scripture he did not like. He said, "I don't know what this means, but it doesn't mean what it says." He had started with his conclusion, "I don't agree with this teaching," and then read the Scripture. He couldn't fit the Scripture into his conclusion, so he simply decided to ignore the Scripture. It doesn't mean what it says. To interpret Scripture, we must start with the Scripture and then find our conclusion. All of us have certain assumptions. We start from a particular point of view. That is fine. The problem is when our assumptions cause us to ignore the clear teaching of Scripture. We must make sure that we start with the text, not with our conclusions. We must not allow our assumptions to cause us to ignore the text. An example. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Some people say, no one is perfect. So they ignore Jesus' command. They have started with their conclusion, no one is perfect, and don't even try to understand what Jesus meant. When studying Matthew 5:48, we must ask, what does Jesus mean by perfect? In what way are we to be like our Heavenly Father? The verses just before Matthew 5:48 give the answer. We are to love our enemies and do good to them in the same way that our Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Matthew 5:45. Scripture teachings do not contradict Scripture teachings. When we read a book by a human author, it may contradict itself at some point. Two human authors are likely to contradict each other on some issues. However, the Bible is the Word of God. It does not contradict itself. God does not change. James 1:17. Because of this, his word is consistent even though it was written over hundreds of years through multiple human authors. God's word does not contradict itself. This principle is a necessary result of the doctrine of inspiration. All scripture is breathed out by God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. If the ultimate source of scripture is God, the Bible cannot contradict itself. This is important for good Bible interpretation. When two passages seem to contradict each other, we should ask if we have misunderstood one of the scriptures. When we fully understand each passage, we will see that both passages are true. An example. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Romans 3:28. A person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. James 2:24. Some readers believe that Paul and James disagreed about the role of faith and works. Paul insists that man is justified without the works of the law. James writes that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Without looking at the contexts for these verses, a person could think that James contradicted Paul. However, the context of each of the passages shows what Paul and James were saying. Paul is talking about how a person is saved and made righteous. A person becomes righteous by faith. James is talking about how a person shows that he is saved. A person shows his righteousness by works. Both Paul and James would agree that a person is made righteous by faith, then shows righteousness by works. Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture. This principle is closely related to the previous principle. Since Scripture does not contradict itself, we can use passages with a plain meaning to help us understand passages where the meaning is less clear. We use verses that are clear to explain more difficult verses. We don't twist simple verses to fit our interpretation of more difficult verses. An interpretation textbook says it like this. Often what is obscure in one part of the Bible is made clear in another part. Source: Walter Kaiser and Moises Silva, An Introduction to Biblical Hermeneutics, Grand Rapids, Zondervan, 1994, page 132. By studying all of Scripture, we allow plain passages to shed light on more difficult passages. An example. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? 1 Corinthians 15:29. Because of this verse, some people think that living people should be baptized for the sake of people who died without having been baptized. However, the Bible nowhere tells us to do that. Paul mentioned a custom that his readers practiced, but we don't know what the custom was. Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture. This principle guides us in interpreting 1 Corinthians 15:29. When we read Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:41, Acts 8:12, and Acts 19:5, we see that baptism was for living believers. Since 1 Corinthians 15:29 does not clearly command baptism for the dead, and since other verses clearly show the common practice of the early church, there is no reason to believe that 1 Corinthians 15 commands baptism for the dead. Scripture was written to be understood. The meaning of God's word can be found in Scripture itself, using normal means of interpretation. God's word is not written in secret codes. From the beginning of the church, all gospel truth has been openly revealed to everyone, not just to special members of the church. Jesus said that he did not have any secret doctrines for his followers, John 18:20. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to teach to others the truth that Paul had taught publicly, 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul explained that if people cannot see the truth, it is not because it is purposely hidden, but because Satan blinds them, 2 Corinthians 4:1-6. The mission of the church has always been to openly share God's truth. It is true that much of Scripture must be studied carefully for its meaning, but its truth is not hidden from us. The essential truths of Scripture are not buried in obscure verses. The psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119:105. The purpose of God's word is to guide us, not to hide the truth. No special keys are necessary to unlock the message of God's word. Do not believe books that claim to unlock the hidden codes of the Bible. God spoke so that we could understand his word. An example. Every few years, someone will claim, "God has revealed to me that Jesus is returning next year." A popular book in 1987 predicted the return of Jesus in 1988. The author claimed that he discovered this fact from a study of the ancient Jewish feasts. The same author wrote a book the next year predicting the rapture in 1989. We should not believe someone who bases important teachings on hidden or secret ways of interpreting the Bible. Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." Matthew 24:36. A biblical command implies a biblical promise. This principle teaches that if God gives a command, he makes obedience possible. Imagine a father who says, "Son, to please me you must run a mile in 2 minutes." For a while, the son might try his best, but he would always fail to meet his father's expectations. Eventually, the son would become discouraged and quit trying. Is this a good father? Some people imagine that God is an unreasonable father. When God says, "Be holy," note, God commands this multiple times, not just once. See Leviticus 11:44 and 45, Leviticus 20:7, and 1 Peter 1:16. They say, "God knows that we cannot obey his commands." John Calvin said that we cannot measure the strength of men by the commands of God. Source: John Calvin's commentary on 1 Thessalonians 5:23 from the Epistles of Paul to the Romans and Thessalonians. Calvin believed that God gives commands that we cannot obey with human strength, but that God provides the power for obedience for those who are saved. John Wesley taught that every command in God's word is a promise that God's power will fulfill in a believer. A person cannot fulfill God's commands with natural human strength, but we can fulfill God's commands by his strength. A loving Heavenly Father empowers his children to obey his commands. A loving Father will not frustrate his children with impossible commands. Every command of Scripture is accompanied by the grace to obey the command. Jesus commanded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew 22:37. This is both a command and a promise. God's command to love God with an undivided heart implies his promise to give us an undivided heart if we trust him. An example. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. From the context, we understand that Jesus is referring to love, not perfection in every way. We also understand that this is not something that we accomplish by our own efforts. The God who commands us to be perfect is the God who fulfills the command. The psalmist testified, "It is God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless." Psalm 18:32. Jesus' command must be properly understood. It must be read in light of the immediate context of Jesus' teaching and in light of biblical teaching on a perfect, undivided heart and a holy, set-apart people. Once we understand this, Jesus' command becomes a gracious promise, not an impossible standard for human effort. Three lenses on the Bible. As evangelical Christians, we accept the Bible as the final authority for doctrine and practice. The Bible contains all knowledge necessary for salvation. However, it is important to recognize that we interpret what we read through a variety of means. For most evangelicals, there are three lenses through which we read the Bible. These lenses do not replace the authority of Scripture in any way. They are simply the ways we read and understand Scripture. To have a full understanding of Scripture, we should use all three lenses. If we ignore one lens, we may misinterpret Scripture. Reading the Bible using these windows helps us to better understand the message of God's Word. The picture in Lesson 2 may help you see the relationship of these lenses to the Bible. We look through the lenses at the Bible. Note, the picture is adapted from the web blog of Danny Coleman, dannycoleman.blogspot.com. Lens 1. Reason. Reason is the first lens we use. This lens asks, what is a rational understanding of this scripture? The lens of reason asks us to use our mind to understand what we read in Scripture. It realizes that Scripture is rationally understood by the mind. We use reason to understand Scripture. However, we must not reject truth from Scripture just because we cannot use reason to prove that it is true. Many people reject the biblical records of miracles because they think that miracles are contrary to reason. However, miracles are not contrary to reason, because we rationally understand that God has the power to do miracles. Some Christians oppose the use of reason. They argue that our fallen minds cannot be trusted to understand God's Word. It is true that humans have limited mental ability. However, Paul consistently appeals to reason when making his arguments. In Romans, for example, Paul asks a series of questions that lead his readers to a logical understanding of the great truths of salvation. While our reason is never the final authority, we should not ignore the rational meaning of Scripture. Lens 2, tradition. The second lens through which we look at Scripture is tradition. The tradition lens asks, how have Christians throughout history understood this Scripture? Tradition tests our understanding of the text in comparison to the insights of other Christians throughout history. Tradition includes the creeds of the early church, the great doctrines which have united Christians in the past, and the teachings of earlier generations. Tradition shows how the Bible has been interpreted throughout church history. Church tradition does not agree on all issues. The most reliable tradition is what has been taught by the church everywhere and in all times. The tradition of individual denominations should be considered, but it does not have as much authority as the tradition of the universal church. God speaks through tradition to help us understand his word. If your interpretation gives a meaning to Scripture that no one else has ever seen, you should assume that you are mistaken. Lens 3. Experience. Experience is the last lens. This lens asks, does my understanding match my experience and the experience of other Christians? Personal experience should not be trusted above absolute truth. However, Experience is valuable when balanced with tradition and reason. Each of these lenses is important. If we use only reason, we will view the mind as the final authority. If we use only tradition, we will fall to the Roman Catholic error of viewing church teaching as being equal to Scripture in its authority. If we use only experience, our interpretation will be limited and will be based on personal feelings, perspectives, and opinions. These lenses are ways that we understand Scripture, but they should not be used in a way that contradicts the authority of Scripture. An example. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:14-21. Paul prayed that the Ephesian believers would grow deeper in their relationship with God. He prayed that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. What do we find if we read this prayer through these three lenses? Reason. When reading Paul's prayer, our reason asks, is this prayer consistent with the rest of Scripture? Is it reasonable to interpret this prayer as a promise of a deeper life for the Christian? Looking at other Scriptures, we see that Romans 12:1, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and other texts suggest a deeper life that is available to the believer. The reality of being filled with all the fullness of God is reasonable. Tradition. Christians from all generations have taught that God promises a deeper walk for believers. Christians have not agreed on the details of how God accomplishes this purpose in believers, but throughout church history, Christians from many different backgrounds have agreed that God calls his children to a deeper relationship with himself. In the second century, Irenaeus wrote that God's purpose for us is that we may be made after the image and likeness of God. Note, as quoted in William M. Greathouse, From the Apostles to Wesley, Kansas City, Beacon Hill Press, 1979, page 38, Irenaeus believed that every believer could be filled with all the fullness of God. In the 4th century, Eastern writers such as Gregory of Nyssa taught that the Christian is to become more and more filled with all the fullness of God. In the 17th century, the French Catholic François Fénelon wrote that, through God's gracious strength, we are able to live as Jesus lived, to think as he thought. Source, From the Apostles to Wesley, page 85. Through God's grace, we can be conformed to his image. Experience. The experience of great Christians throughout history shows their hunger for a deeper life. Every committed Christian hungers for more of God. The testimonies of great Christians show that this hunger was satisfied by God's grace. Questions to ask. When considering debated passages, there are passages of Scripture that are interpreted differently among churches and are sometimes debated among friends. When you look at one of those passages, instead of just defending your opinion, consider the following questions. Am I beginning with the conclusion? Have I already decided what I think the Scripture should say before I read it? Does my interpretation of this Scripture contradict other Scripture passages? Do other verses give a clearer understanding of this passage? Is my interpretation based on a hidden message, or am I interpreting the passage in the clearest manner possible? Does this passage give a command? If so, what is the promise that is implied by the command? What does the tradition of the Christian Church through the ages say about this passage? What is a clear and rational understanding of this passage? What does my experience and the experience of other Christians say about this passage? These questions do not guarantee that you will find complete agreement on the interpretation of a passage. However, they may help you find areas of agreement. If not, the questions may help to pinpoint the reasons that sincere Christians who are committed to the authority of God's Word disagree on the interpretation of certain passages of Scripture. Lesson 2. Key points. 1. An understanding of basic principles of Bible interpretation will help to keep you from coming to wrong conclusions in study. 2. Start with the text, not with your conclusion. Do not allow your presuppositions to cause you to ignore the text. 3. Scripture teachings do not contradict scripture teachings. If two passages seem contradictory, consider whether you have misunderstood one of the passages. 4. Scripture is the best interpreter of scripture. Allow plain passages to explain more difficult passages. 5. Scripture was written to be understood. Look for the plain sense of the text. 6. A biblical command implies a biblical promise. The God who gives a command empowers our obedience. 7. The Bible contains all knowledge necessary for salvation. 8. We look at Scripture through three lenses that help us understand God's Word. Reason, a rational understanding of the meaning of the text. Tradition, the insights of other Christians throughout history. Experience, the spiritual experience of Christians.